An appropriate topic for Sfiras Omer would be learning the sugyas of Bein Adam L'Chavero as an introduction first about the differences between mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chavero, Bein Adam L'Makom. And that's of course because the Gemara tells in Maseches Yevamos, as we all know, that Rabbi Kiva lost 12,000 students, 24,000 students, 12,000 chavrusas of students during this time period, and simply because they weren't Shalom Nagu Kavod Zelazeh, they weren't showing proper respect to each other. So as a tikkun, one of the things that we do during this time period is to learn Pirkei Avos and learn about Midos and Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chavero. So as an introduction for the upcoming shiurim, I'm not sure which topics we'll be going through. I'm taking recommendations, suggestions, maybe Lifnei Iver next week. We'll see. Let me know what you think. But as an introduction, let's go through the general idea, the differences between the nafkaminas, between Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chavero, Bein Adam L'Makom. I was talking to a friend of mine who himself is a rabbi, and he told me that he heard a shiur once that there were four different nafkaminas that he heard once between Bein Adam L'Chaver and Bein Adam L'Makom. I came across 12 different nafkaminas. There could be more than that, let's go through some of these differences between mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chaver and Bein Adam L'Makom. So first we know that there's a famous Ramban on the Aseres HaDibros. Others say this as well, that the Aseres HaDibros was split up in such a way where the first five dibros are mitzvos bein adam l'makom, and the second five are mitzvos bein adam l'chavero. Of course, the big question is number five, the fifth one. What's the fifth? Kibud Av'eim. We're learning that this week. Those who want to join Tuesday night, come and join the Hilchos Kibud Av'eim shir. So that fifth one doesn't really fit in bein adam l'makom. Of course, parents are people. They're bein adam l'chavero, so the Ramban famously writes that, yes, granted they are people, but it's also somehow based on many sugyas, it's supposed to be representative of the bein adam l'makom. So that's the Ramban writes in number two. V'nei aseres hadibros, chamisha bekavod habore, v'chamisha l'tovas ha'adam. The first five are bein adam l'makom, kavod habore, and the second five are tovas adam, bein adam l'chavero. And he goes on to explain, I did include this, that even though Kibud Av'eim is a bein adam l'chavero, it really does fit as bein adam l'makom, because there are three partners in this world in creating each person, the two parents, and of course a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so they serve some level of a godlike figure, and does fit on bein adam l'makom list. Now it's interesting that there are a number of different Rishonim who count the Taryag Mitzvahs, and they have different ways of counting the Taryag Mitzvahs and breaking them up. The Sefer Chinuch writes the Mitzvahs based on the Parshios. That's how he wanted to organize the Mitzvahs. The Rambam writes based on, he has first Mitzvahs Aseh, and then he has Mitzvahs Los Aseh. And who knows which of the Rishonim write based on Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chaver. He splits it up in that way. Anyone know which of the Rishonim? Nope. It isn't a good guess. Not Yireim, very good. Yireim breaks it up. He's a little more sophisticated than that, but he does have, for some reason, he doesn't count all 613. I don't know why. He stops, I think, 400 and something. But he breaks it up based on Bein Adam L'Chavero, Bein Adam L'Makom, and then based on Maisa, and then Riyah. He has different ways of breaking them up, but he does have that distinction of Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chavero. He used a Lashon based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Ra L'Brios, Ra L'Makom, I think the Lashon is. That's the terminology used in terms of breaking these categories of mitzvahs up. Take a look there in the beginning of the Urim. So anyway, so what are nafkaminas? Who cares whether it's Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chaver? Of course, we understand the conceptual difference, the mitzvahs towards Hashem or the mitzvahs towards a friend, but what are the nafkaminas? What's the big deal of such a distinction? So in Yalki Yosef number 3, he writes that when he's talking about the mitzvah of Kibud Av'eim, and he says there are those who hold, Eino tzarech l'chavein l'shei mitzvah. You don't have to have kavana that you're doing Kibud Av'eim, that you're respecting your parents, you're getting them some food, you're getting them a drink. You don't have to have kavana that you're doing this l'shem mitzvah. Don't we have a concept in general? There's a machlokas whether we say mitzos tzrichos kavana or not. How do we paskin? We paskin deraisa, you require kavana. So isn't mitzos Kibud Av'eim a mitzvah deraisa? Shouldn't it require kavana? So he says, Mikol makom b'mitzos shebein adam l'chavero, mitzos eino tzrichos kavana. Fascinating nafkamina. So when it comes to mitzos bein adam l'makom, you require kavana, but mitzos bein adam l'chavero, says Rav Avadia, you do not require kavana. Fascinating. What's the difference? He doesn't explain, but I think the understanding is, because generally speaking, Rav Chanan writes this among others, that bein adam l'makom is more about the maisa mitzvah, and when it comes to bein adam l'chavero, it's about the totzah, the result. about me giving tzedakah to you, about me helping you out. There's a recipient, someone who's gaining something. So in general, the nafkamina always between maisa and totsa is kavana. If something requires maisa, that maisa needs to be defined by a kavana. If it's result-oriented, building a makkah, a fence around your roof, it's about the totsa. Who cares how it was done, as long as it gets done. So that's the basic distinction. Yes, Seth? Interesting.
The whole world, means in theory,
right.
Gives charity or
right.
Nice to their parents.
I hear that. So you're saying
you need the kavana to initially learn because it's a mitzvah, not because it's the rational thing to do.
Makes sense. I hear
the
that. This is also two different perspectives. This is also logical, I think. More alumnish approach. But you're saying.
Let's say Jewish people, the non-foreign people, and they.
No, I understand what you're saying, yeah. The question becomes, what is the role of kavana? Is kavana to show what I'm doing is for a certain purpose, or it's defining an action? I hear, when you're doing a lulav, you're only doing it for one reason. But let's say the guy's doing it for no kavana. Let's say I'm doing it just because... everyone else... It's a general question of das, what the role of das is. So even though I'm doing something because everyone else is doing this, if I don't do this l'shem mitzvah, though, even though...
If a non-Jewish person has no idea about Torah, Jewish person, and then they get their parents a glass of water, they fill the mitzvah, keep it out of it.
According to Ravadi, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. But then he quotes other opinions that think that yesh chokim, that really when you do mitzvahs, keep it out of aim, you should have kavana, because there are those who think it's a ben adam lemakom, and that requires, since it's about a maisa, it requires a kavana when doing the mitzvah. So he says it's a very easy thing to do. Why not? He says, since you could accomplish both, so therefore it's very easy. Just have kavana when you're about to give your parents water. So think in, you don't have to say this, but think that I'm doing this l'shem, the mitzvah of kibud avim. Whenever it's something easy to accomplish, why not be yote all the shitas? You know, Mishnah Berurah in general is always trying to be yotzei all the shitas and do this and do that. We don't always live life like that, but when it's easy, why not? One easy one I'll tell you that I do, it's not a hard thing, it's a chumrah. You don't have to start doing this, it's a bit crazy, but when it comes to Sfiras Omer, you know, I myself am confused. You say La Omer, Ba Omer, I'm Ashkenazi, Sephardi say Le, Ashkenazi say Ba. So I do both. I say both, it takes an extra 3 seconds. I do both just to be yotzei all shitas. I have no idea what La Omer or Ba Omer means. What? I haven't seen that much, but either.
Hebrew English art school is different than all Hebrew art school.
That I've seen before. Also, Mashiach Ruach and Gashem and Geshem. Also, they were very confused themselves. It's a confusing thing. So that's an easy thing to be yotzei all shita. They say La Omer, Ba Omer. Why not? So says Rav Avadia, why not here as well? Have kavanah l'shem the mitzvah of kibud av aim. You have nothing to lose. But then he has a fascinating point. Question?
No. Just on that, Ba'omer, La'omer, yeah. Isn't the concept of Atitoshrati Mecha? I mean, if you're supposed to be saying Ba'omer or La'omer, should you stick to that and not do them both?
You should, but it doesn't make a difference, really. I mean, either way, every post take is going to say you're Yotze either one. So La and Ba is really fine. So just be Yotze all the Rishonim who say this way or that way, you're fine that way. Yes. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know. I'm davening Nusach Svar, and my youngest son next to me is davening Ashkenaz. My older son's davening Svar because I got a Svar sitter, and we're all very confused. So,
at least you're davening.
At least I'm davening, exactly. I hope it's being heard, though.
Lishma.
So he says further, very interesting, which I never knew this before. I don't know if this is a chiddush of the Yalki Yosef or not, but he says that Hanimsa b'makom sheyesh bo reach ra. This is that same number three. If a person's in a place where it's bad, you know, it smells bad in a bathroom, an alleyway where it's disgusting garbage out there, he says, "Nizdami lidei l'kaim mitzvahs kibud av aim." Let's say a person has an opportunity to do kibud av aim where it's a bad smelling area, yikaim ha mitzvah below kavana. Me'achar she'iyev shar l'chavin l'shei mitzvah b'mekomos ha'mitunafim. I never knew that. I knew that you can't learn and you don't wear tefillin in a place that smells. But l'shem mitzvah, the kavana, I never thought of that as learning, as a violation, but makom ra. It's a chiddush to me. Now, I don't know everything, obviously. But I thought that was interesting to note, this idea.
I think he's saying below kavana as neutral, Dafka saying, I'm not doing this for purpose.
No, I think neutral. Because to be yotzei, the shitas that say you're yotzei without kavana, so that's mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero, so you don't need kavana, so stay away. Since keeping kavana is only a chumrah, don't mekayim the chumrah in a makom where it smells bad, which I thought was quite interesting. Okay, the other nafkamina, one other nafkamina is found in Maseches Yuma in the Mishnah. This is the clearest nafkamina. It's based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Pei Hei Amid Beis. Averos shebein adam lemakom yom hakipurim mechaper. Averos shebein adam lechavero ein yom hakipurim mechaper ad sheyirtzes chaver. That's a very pashut nafkamina. That when it comes to tshuva for mitzvahs ben adam lemakom, like Shabbos and tefillin and tzitzis, all you need to do is Yom Kippur itself is mechaper, and that's all. When it comes to mitzvahs ben adam lechavero, it's not enough for Yom Kippur, but you have to ask mechila. And that's, again, we don't have to ask mechila from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, by us just doing the right thing, that itself is understood. So the requirement for mechila would be the nafkamina. Using kibud av v'eim as a model, so if kibud av v'eim is a mitzvah ben adam lechavero, you'd have to ask mechila from your parents. If it's only mitzvah ben adam lemakom, so then you wouldn't have to ask mechila from your parents. I wonder, Ashkenazim definitely don't ask mechila from their parents. But do the Sfardim ask mechila from their parents before Yom Kippur? Yeah? Yeah, I'm not surprised. Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very nice. Okay, I never did.
Unfortunately, generally do it at the
Levite. Right. So, we should take a follow suit from the Sfardim.
No, but that's not the Nachamina. The Nachamina is you ask Mechila from your parents, it's Ben Adam Lakom, Ben Adam Lachavero, but it's Ben Adam Lakom, you ask Mechila from Hashem.
You don't have to ask Mechila from Hashem.
Right, but you wouldn't, it wouldn't be like asking mechila from your parents. That doesn't play a role.
No. What are you saying? If it's ben adam lemakom,
then your parents asking mechila from your parents does not play a role. Either you ask mechila from Hashem, or in this case you don't, because
no, but that's the whole point. If it's ben adam lechavero, so then you wouldn't have to ask mechila.
You ask from the parents.
If it's ben adam lemakom, you don't ask mechila.
You don't ask mechila, but I mean, you said you don't ask mechila from your parents, but I don't see why that would even be private.
From anyone, whoever, from anyone, for your parents or Hashem. You don't, there's no need, whenever it's a B'nai Malkum, you never ask Mechila from anyone. You're just saying, is it, when you look, you're asking, in essence, when you're Mechab, if you assume parents are like B'nai Malkum, is that your parents themselves are some level of Hashem, let's say? Or it's really just as a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's behind your parents, I think was what you're trying to grapple with. But either way, it's a little bit deeper than this. So let's go right to the next Nafkamina. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, talking about the sugya of tochacha, giving rebuke and telling a person what he's doing wrong or what he shouldn't be doing. So he writes, "Hamochiach es chavero tchila, lo yidaber lo kashus." When a person gives tochacha to someone, you should never get so angry, you should never speak harshly to a person. And then he goes on to explain what the important mitzvah, naveira of amalbin, pnei chaver berabim, how a person embarrasses someone in public, ein lo chelek liolam haba. When a person is giving rebuke to someone, make sure not to do it in public, make sure to do it in private, give the guy some, so you want to avoid any embarrassment. But then the Rambam says a fascinating distinction. This idea of not embarrassing someone in public to prevent him from doing an avera. When is this true? The last two lines, says the Rambam, shebein adam lechaver. When it comes to between two people, he did something wrong to you, you should never embarrass him in public to give him proper tochacha. Aval bedivrei shemayim, meaning bein adam lemakom, im lo chazer b'seisa. You first try telling, you pull him over to the side and listen, say what you're doing is incorrect, you shouldn't be being michal Shabbos, you shouldn't write on Shabbos, and he doesn't listen to you. So then you could take it a step further, machlim in osob rabim, you can embarrass him in public, u'mifarsim mecheto, you can publicize his chet, and so on and so forth. So when it comes to ben adam lechavero, you can never ever publicize what a person did wrong. It's between you and him. You do the best you can to make him better. But ben adam lechavero, ben adam lemakom, when it's to shemayim, you first take the approach of being besaser. If not, then you could escalate things to make it even bepirsim, make it even public to what he did wrong. So that's another nafkamina of ben adam lechavero versus ben adam lemakom.
Rashi Beferish says that when you give hachacha, don't get him angry, don't embarrass him, don't do things that'll bring more.
Yeah, that's fine. We're not the first machlok because we found between the Rambam and Rashi, but you're right. From that simple reading of Rashi, it would seem across the board that you should never publicize what he's doing. Yes, a question, Ezra.
Yeah, if you know somebody's a Machal Shabbos, then you can embarrass him?
First you tell him, no, don't take this halach lemaisa, by the way. This nowadays, things are very different. But at least back then, First, you try to pull him over to the side. You explain to him what Shabbos is. You can't do this. You can't do that. And if that doesn't work, then you could escalate things to make it more public to deter him from doing it. Nowadays, the Gemara says, and the Poskim say, we don't know how to give proper tochacha, and people don't know how to listen to proper tochacha. So it's a whole another game nowadays. Okay. Number six, and next nafkamina is found in Rav Yosef Engel, Asman Deraisa. Asman Deraisa is one of the many, many svarim Rav Yosef Engel wrote. It's called Asman Deraisa, means letters. Asman is Aramaic for letters. There are 22 letters in the Torah, in the Aleph Beis, and therefore he wrote 22 pieces in Asman Deraisa, 22 shtiklach, very fascinating topics. Rav Yosef Engel, he wrote many, many svarim, many of which we lost during the war, but he was a tremendous, tremendous gaon in everything, in all of the Hasidus and Kabbalah and Halacha and Lamnus. I have never seen anyone like this who really, you know, meshed together from Halacha and Lamnus along with Pnimius and Kabbalah. I remember my first exposure to him, I was learning a sugi in Baba Kama, Ein Onshin Min Adin. It goes to the basic Lamnus, those who are following with it. It talks about why we say you can't apply an onesh based on a kal v'chomer. There are three different explanations in the Rishonim and the Achronim. And then he gives his fourth explanation. And I didn't really know what I was reading. I was in Rav Rosenzweig's shiur. I didn't know the terms. For us, mostly it's basic here. Now, but he was talking about how min hadin, kal v'chomer, is midin chesed, and gzeir shav is midin gvur and din, and chesed is more giving, is no punishment through chesed. I didn't know what he's talking about. But either way, I felt it so fascinating. It really stuck with me until I find now I could appreciate what he means. He really does an amazing job in really meshing together these different worlds of learning. So in Asman Deraisa, Klal Yud Gimel, he's talking about the concept of Ones Rachmana Patre. Ones Rachmana Patre tells us that if a person was forced into doing an Avera, so then the person's Pater. There is no Onesh. So let's say the Pasuk is talking about Ulanara Lo Sase Davar. If a woman in Rachmana Latzlan was raped, so she was a married girl, she was engaged, and a person who's normally married or engaged and is with another man is Chayiv Misa. But let's say a man violated her against her will. She didn't do a thing, so the halacha is she doesn't get punished. That was onus. She was forced into that. She's completely exempt. So Rav Yosef Engel wants to know, what about this onus? Does the exemption of onus apply for mitzvahs aseh? Let's say a person couldn't perform a mitzvahs aseh because he was onus. He was sleeping. He was, wherever he was in some situation where he couldn't accomplish a mitzvah, is he going to be putter from the mitzvah? Or no, he's still chayiv when he has the chance to do it. That's the question he had. So he brings a raya, where the Gemara talks about in several places, chatzi eved, chatzi ben choron, a person who's a half slave, and he's half free. So the Gemara says, force him, we force the masters to free him so he can perform the mitzvah of? Kedushin. Not kedushin, peruvu. So why? So Rav Yosef Engel says, I don't understand. If he, right now, because when he's half eved, half ben choron, he can't marry anyone. Because since he's partially Eved, he can't marry a free woman. And since she's partially free, he can't marry a Shifcha. So he's stuck. He's Ones. So he's Pater from the mitzvahs, right? The fact that the Gemara says we force the masters to free him so he can perform the mitzvahs aseh, peruvu, he concludes that even b'makom Ones, a person is chayiv in mitzvahs. That's one of the proofs of Rav Yosef Engel. He says also what comes up, there's a machlok, is let's say a person was nenas and he wasn't able to daven a tefillah. Normally if a person misses a tefillah, he has to make up tashlumim. But let's say, I don't know, he was having surgery for 8 hours and he couldn't daven shachris. Does he have to make up tashlumim mincha for shachris that he missed? So that's a machlokas. So that machlokas is based on this point. He says, if you assume ones, rachmana patre, even for mitzvah aseh, so you shouldn't have to make it up. But if you assume that onus does not, excuse me, exempt a person from a mitzvah aseh, he would have to make up the shachris that he missed. So that's the discussion. Now, in this this context, look what he writes. This is number six, the second paragraph, the bold. He says, "Diyesh nei mini mitzvahs." Now he's mechalik between mitzvahs shebein adam lemakom levad umitzah and umizeh hasvara nosenes. When it comes to mitzvah bein adam lemakom, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba Bitronyo Im Ibriosof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be upset at you. If you, let's say, were sleeping, or you had surgery, and you missed tefillin, you missed talis, you missed davening, Hashem's not going after you. Hashem understands, he's Rachmanis, he's not going to make a big deal, and he won't be Mechayiv you, and Ones Rachmana Patre, when it comes to Mitzvah Aseh Ben Adam Lemakom. When it comes to Mitzvah Aseh, the third line down in the bold, when it comes to the second category of mitzvah shebein adam lechavero, kama asiyas makkah, you're building a fence around a roof so no one falls off. or priyas bal chov, which is a mitzvah, paying a debt. That's a mitzvah, the Gemara says. Or kedoma, or let's say giving tzedakah, hu mitzad to'eles chavero, it's based on the benefit of the person receiving, the recipient. Ubevadai lo nemar, in this case, we don't say ones, and you have to build a fence. You have to help your friend out. You know, let's say a guy has a fence. He's got a rooftop, a flat rooftop, which you can access. And there's no fence around it. And the guy's ones, well, you still, there's a big sakana for someone who goes on your rooftop. You're not going to be exempt because you're ones. Someone's losing out because of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mochel. He's mochel b'davar if you're ones for mitzvahs that deal with him. But mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveros is a Yosef Engel. An ones will not exempt the person, and you would have to keep the mitzvahs even though you are ones.
It's not exempt because there's no time limit. I mean, you know, you have, you know, if you don't do it now, you can do it in 10 years. You can still do the mitzvah. So you can't be ones. You can't be potter like for life.
Hey, no, so
but, you know, you miss a davening. So for those few hours that you're sleeping, you miss it. You miss Shabbos. It's gone. So then the question becomes, can you make it up or not? Do you have to make it up or not? But something like Makkah, I mean, there's no, you can't really complain.
Let's say a person is not capable of building a fence. He's injured. Say, I'm ones. I can't do anything about this. So he should make sure to hire someone to make ensure that his house has a fence on it. So that would be an example. Of course, if he, you know, he's healthy, if he's surgery and he can't do anything, he can't even think about anything, nothing you could do about it. And of course, when he wakes up, he should build a fence. But if he's not capable on his own, he's ones, you can't claim ones when it comes to mitzvahs aseh bein adam lechaver. So this is another nafkamina between these two categories of mitzvahs. Number 7, the next category, it's found in the Tshuvas Yeshuas Malko. I'm not going to get into the context here. He's talking about an issue of Motzei Shemra. But he ends up saying here, I'll say this outside, we have the Klal of Safek, Daraisa L'chumra. So he has a tremendous chiddush. He writes that that's true only of Mitzvah Aseh Bein Adam L'Makom. I don't know who he is. I found it on Bar Ilan. Mitzvah Aseh Bein Adam. I looked it up. I forgot. I meant to bring it with me, but I don't remember who it was. So Mitzvah Aseh Bein Adam L'Makom, only that's the type of category of mitzvah that we apply Safek Daraisa L'chumra. But he says when it comes to mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveiro, this is a big chiddush, he says, safek l'hakel. Now, I don't think other achronim agree with him on this. I never saw such a distinction, but I thought it was quite fascinating nonetheless. And now let's move to number 8, the next source. And this is the Emek Halacha. I looked this one up also. He was somewhat of a contemporary. I think he was only nifter maybe 30 years ago. Someone in Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember what his name is already. But he has a very interesting discussion. He's talking about the concept of kofin al mitzvahs aseh. The Gemara tells us in Ksubis that when it comes to mitzvahs aseh, we are kofin, we force a person until sh'ad sh'teitzei nafsho. Pretty severe. That we force a person, if he's not willing to do lulav, sit in the sukkah, or eat matzah, we beat him. Either he gives in, or he dies. Now that's pretty strong. So look what he writes here. He says, "The mitzvahs asay kofin achetetin nafsho, zedavka banashim." This is only with respect to men. You only force men to do mitzvahs. Aval benashim, when it comes to women, ain kofin. We don't force women to do mitzvahs. Okay. Now look at the very interesting raya he has. Hochachti, I prove this is another tshuva that he wrote. Mehad denaka. This is the underline right now. Bebrayis Hashem. What are the examples that the Gemara says? Which mitzvahs can you force? It gives a few examples, but it's not limited to those examples. Sukkah, eini oseh, lulav, eini notel. How come in the Gemara chooses sukkah and chooses lulav, but lo nakir, it doesn't choose matzah, eini ochel? Why is matzah not chosen as one of the examples? So he says, because muchach, he proves from here, dibinashim ein kof. And since you can force women, lechach nakir, Rakhani mitzvos asay dilesnayel benashim. They chose the Gemara, the Braisa chose examples that are not shayach to women. Women are pater in sukkah, they're pater in lulav. We're trying to prove, the Gemara says, that we only force men to mitzvos asay, but not mitzvos losa, rather not mitzvos that apply to women. But matzah, which applies to women as well, had they given the example that if the guy says, I'm not eating matzah, and you force him to eat matzah, you might think, oh, you could even force a woman. So that's why they chose examples that only apply to men. You only force men, and you don't force women. What's the explanation? Why would you distinguish between men and women? If it's a mitzvah like matzah, women have the same chiv as men to eat matzah. So if you force a man to eat matzah, if he's not willing to, so certainly you should force the woman to eat matzah, if she's not willing to. So what's the explanation? So it says the Emek Halacha, if you look at the next paragraph in the bold, Inyan hakfiya, the whole basis of forcing to do mitzvahs, shekofen al mitzvahs aseh, shumitam arvus. Arvus, they were all together. We're all our ravim zebazeb. We have to make sure and ensure we're doing the same thing. We're doing the right thing. We're all keeping mitzvahs. We're not doing averos. And benoshim women, the leka arvus. Without explaining why this is based on a rush in the sugi in Rosh Hashanah, women are not bechlal arvus. We love women. We love our wives. We love our daughters. We love our mothers. We love everyone. But at the same time, for whatever reason, they're not included in the arvus. They don't have that same level of obligation of the mitzvahs, and we don't have the same obligation to ensure that they keep the mitzvahs. So since Kofen, why do I force Reuven to do the mitzvah? Because if he doesn't do the mitzvah, it's impacting me. And it's impacting everyone else here, so I could Kofen on Reuven and Shimon to make sure they're eating matzahs in the sukkah and shaking lulav. Women, if they don't do the mitzvah, they're just hurting themselves, they're not hurting the tzibur. So therefore, we can't force them to do it if they're not willing to perform the mitzvah. So that's the background. Now he says the following distinction. The last three lines. Achein. Zeh shayach rak l'inyan mitzvahs aseh shebein adam l'makom. The only time this is true that we don't force women to do mitzvahs if it's impacted between her and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's between her and Hashem. If she doesn't want to do the mitzvah, that's up to her. Aval b'mitzvahs aseh shebein adam l'chaveru. If it's impacting other people. Kimo priyas chov. She has an outstanding debt she's not willing to pay. Oh, Nezikin Shechav Lachminu, she damaged some guy's car and she's not willing to pay for it. Someone else is being affected by that. And then he says, Pshita Shekofen Gan L'Nashim. Then women would be included in that Kofen. Afa Pishain Anu Arevim Ba'adon. Even though there's no Arvis by her, so even though everyone agrees there's no Kofen by women, Mitzvah Zaseh, I think most people say that there's no Kofen by women. But when it comes to mitzvahs ben adam lechavero, he says we would be kofen women to ensure that they again fulfill their end of the deal. The similar pattern we keep seeing is that mitzvahs ben adam lechavero is when there's a toelos to someone else. It's about a totsah, building a fence so no one gets injured, paying an outstanding debt, giving tzedakah. Whenever someone else is involved, there's a toelos, there's a result. That's the definition of mitzvahs aseh ben adam lechavero. Mitzvahs ben adam lechavero. And the next nafkamina is found in number 9. Very interesting nafkamina. The Rambam writes that he's describing the power of a king, the power of a melech, and he says that Yesh l'melech rishus lahargo ulesaken ha'olam kifi masha shatzicha. The king has a certain power that even though when it comes to Sanhedrin, they could only kill someone, Mises Bezdin, if there's proper Edim, there's proper Hasra, all the different halachas and details need to be in place for Sanhedrin or Bezdin to kill someone. When it comes to a king, if the king feels that there's a certain need, litaken ha'olam, to fix the world, to ensure that the government is running properly, that society is functioning like it should, he could kill even without Edim, without Hasra. That's the role, that's the right and that's the right that the king has. So the Or Sameach from Meir Simcha, Meir Davinsky explains as follows. He's distinguishing between the rights of a Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin also has rights as well to kill when there's a certain need. When there's a certain Hara Shah, Shimon Shetach had killed a number of people because of a certain Hara Shah that took place once. He didn't have Edim Hosra Hasra, but he felt that there's a certain need, there's a certain Hara Shah. Sanhedrin also has the right to kill in certain circumstances without Edim Velsra. So the Or Sameach is now distinguishing between a Sanhedrin rights versus the king's rights. So he writes inside, Kimodi l'sanhedrin bizman habayis haya rishus laharo gula enosh mipnei harasha. The times of the base of Migdash, the Sanhedrin had the right to kill someone when they felt needed. Rak shesham, there's a very important, the fundamental distinction between the Sanhedrin's rights and the king's rights. When the guards to Sanhedrin, kasav la'aso siag l'torah. Sanhedrin is there to protect the Torah, to preserve the Torah. The Khan, when it comes to the king, though, Yesh l'malcha beis David rishus l'sakin ha'olam. It's about protecting the world. Sanhedrin is protecting the Torah, and the Melch is protecting the government, the world, the country, the people. So he says the king's rights are limited. V'haynu dafke l'ratzech, only the ability if there's a chashash of someone, some murder, someone murdered, and there's no edim v'asra, he's able to kill that rotzeach, even though he doesn't have the proper edim and asra. About binyanim shebein adam lemakom, things that have to do between man and God, he doesn't keep Shabbos, that the king has no right to do. Kimo beatiach es ishto v'tachas teina, inappropriate things were taking place in public. a rachav al sus b'Shabbos, someone's riding a horse in Shabbos, there the king has no rights to get involved. Shezei eino nogei l'tikun ha-medina klal, ein deshayach l'malcho beis David. Rak l'sanhedrin. So this is another distinction. The rights that the king has to kill people when necessary, says the Or Sameach, it's only in the world of mitzvos bein adam l'chavero that impacts other people. But mitzvos bein adam l'makom, there the king has no right to intervene, and he cannot kill someone if they are not proper edim v'asra. Okay, let's keep going with other nafkaminas now. The number 11, Lifnei Iver. This is going to be, I guess, a little foreshadowing for next week. I think next week we do Lifnei Iver, unless you have another suggestion. Rav Chanan Vassman writes in Pesachim Os Sadi Hei, the following, look inside the bold, Tzarech Lomar. Dile'inin lahachil davar ha'asar, in regards to feeding someone, shekpeitas ha'torah ha'isa, shelo yase isra ayde Yisrael. You're not allowed to feed someone something non-kosher. You can't hand a cheeseburger pig to someone who's Jewish to eat. That's going to be asr. I'll just mention as an aside right now, someone asked me a real halacha ma'isa question on Shabbos, a fascinating question. He has a friend that's not yet Shomer Torah Mitzvos. He's getting there. And he took upon himself, this individual, to keep his house, keep kosher in his home, but not to keep kosher outside. So now he was invited to a barbecue, and he was presented the following question. He wanted to know. He asked his friend, who's from, who then asked me, that I'm going to have a decision to make. What should I eat? Nothing there being served is going to be kosher. Is it better for me to eat pig, or is it better for me to eat the non-kosher hamburger? That was the question. So I immediately said, there's a Mishnah in Gemara in Yuma that talks about a person who's ill and needs to be fed food to keep him alive, pikuach nefesh. So if the options of two different isurim, the Gemara says kal, whatever's lesser of an isur, you go for. So let's say it's something that's chay misa and something that's only a lav, you of course go for the lav over the thing that's chay misa. But the two options here is pig, which is a lav, and then there's nevela, which is also lav, they're the same lav, they're both lavim, they're both equal, so which one should you choose? So I thought to say, just lanias daiti, that certainly from this week's, last week's parasha Shemini, and pig, and the chazer, pig has a certain disgust that we have against, we don't like anything non-kosher obviously, but pig is a little bit worse in terms of our perspective, it's disgusting to us, more so than nevela, cow meat that wasn't shechted properly. I thought probably better for him to choose the nevela over the chazer. Now, I didn't look into this at all. That was just my regular achas, my thoughts on this. But that being said, the Kovach Shirman discusses, of course, we know the Isser of Lifnei Iver, you can't hand a ham sandwich to someone else or a cheeseburger to someone who's Jewish. That's a violation of Lifnei Iver. There's also an Isser, you can't even give something Usser to a Nachri. A non-Jew is not allowed to eat Eber Menachai, a limb from a live animal. He can't eat it. So to hand a live animal, Eber Menachai, a limb from a live animal to a Nachri, that's also Lifnei Iver, because you're causing him to violate an Isser that he needs to keep. So then Kovach Shirman writes, the Isser of Lifnei Iver, there are really two elements of Lifnei Iver. There's one Lifnei Iver of not giving, of rather, you can't give bad advice. That's Bein Adam L'Chavero. There's another Isser of not giving him something to violate an Isser. That's Bein Adam L'Makom. To hand him a pig, that's a violation of Bein Adam L'Makom. So those are two different Isserim, two types of Lifnei Ivers. So Rav Chanan writes, the Isser of Lifnei Iver to a Nachri is only a Bein Adam L'Makom. You can't hand him something that's going to be a Bein Adam L'Makom Isser to him, like eating Eiver Menachai. But he says, now don't take this, guys, don't follow this, what I'm about to say, L'Halach L'Maisa. Aval B'miyayetz Eitz Sheina Hogenes, but to give him improper advice, to give him bad advice, he says, that's not Shaykh to a Nachri. There is no Lifnei Iver. You are allowed to give bad advice to a non-Jew. That's not a violation of Lifnei Iver. Now, don't do this, guys. It's not nice. I'm just saying, in terms of this distinction, this is another nafkamina we have between mitzvahs bein adam lechavero, bein adam lemakom. That again, Rav Chanan writes that even though there is a requirement, we cannot do Lifnei Iver. We can't put stumbling blocks to a Nachri. At least Mikri Adin, it only applies to Bein Adam L'Makom mitzvahs, but when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chavero mitzvahs, there is no violation of Lifnei Iver to a Nachri.
Is he explaining the Pirushim on the spot why, Rabbi Chanan, or
no? No, he does not explain that why. He does not say the reason for this. It's based on, maybe next week we'll get into this a little bit further.
Does Shavar Din Ahari apply here or not?
Yeah, sure, yeah. It always applies. If without, if it's not Trey Aver the Nahara, then it's not Lifnei Iver. If he could get it on his own, then it's not Lifnei Iver. It's only when you're the one supplying it to him, and he's no other way to get it. Number 12 now, the next Nafkamina, we just finished, we're the last day of Nisan, Pesach not too far away, or that wasn't too long ago. So the Miri writes that when it comes to Bittel, Bittel Chametz, he says that the Gemara requires a Bittel Belef. That if a person is Mevatel Chametz, it's enough for him to just think about this Belef, to think about this. But do you have to actually articulate and say that my Chametz is now Batel? So the Miri writes, Ubittel Libo, this is number 12, there yesh ma'arin, there are those who are troubled by this, why bittel b'leiv works. Because we have a concept in the halacha, dvarim shebelev, enim dvarim. So how could bittel b'leiv work? If I think about bittel, the Gemara says dvarim shebelev doesn't work. So how could the Gemara say bittel b'leiv works? So therefore some say you have to articulate the bittel, b'peh, for bittel chametz to work. But look what the Ramiri writes now, the last line, vein tzarech l'perish zeh, you don't need to explain that way. Shekol shebein adam l'makom rachmana liva bai. Mean dvarm shebelev works for bein adam l'makom, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu only wants is our lev. That's an important point, of course, in Musar and understanding the machshava. But even in halacha, says the Meiri, since all Kadosh Baruch Hu wants is our lev, all you have to do is think about bittel, even though dvarm shebelev ain't dvarm, that's bein adam l'chavero. If I'm making a deal with a guy, I've got things in my heart. He doesn't know what I'm saying. It doesn't mean anything until I actually said it. But Bein Abdom L'Makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that we're thinking. And therefore, since Bittul Chametz is a Bein Abdom L'Makom mitzvah, Bittul Lev works. So this is another nafkamina when it comes to Dvarim Shebelev. It doesn't work for Bein Abdom L'Chavero, but Dvarim Shebelev does work, is Dvarim, in the world of Bein Abdom L'Makom. There's another nafkamina, the Osek B'Mitzvah, Sedei Chemed writes, doesn't really explain this, but the Sedei Chemed writes that when it comes to Osek B'Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, he says, again, without explaining, that it's only Shayach when it comes to a Mitzvah's Ben Adam L'Makom.
Which one? When you're
Osek in
or the one you put
them? So I'll read what he says. So it's unclear. He says, Misha Osek B'Mitzvah She Ben Adam L'Makom Ein Svara She Yiftar Mi Mitzvah She Ben Adam L'Chavera. There has to be the same. The Eino Topoter Ela Mitzvah De Kavase. So it seems, I think what he's trying to say, if I am doing a mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, it would exempt another l'chavero. And a mitzvah ben adam l'makom would exempt another makom. But makom l'chavero, chavero l'makom, that would not work. Funerals and kriyashma, is that the example? No, I thought you were talking another example about how Shavas Aveda, Rabbi Yossi.
It's referring to the Gemara where there's a Levaya or Lehavdala, Chazan Kala Kanbay, and he's learning. Does it have to stop? Is there enough people in the
person? That one, okay. Then, so that is not an issue, I don't think, of Osek B'Mitzvah. I think it's more an issue of just the Kavod HaMeis. Could be. So we have to look at that sugya. You have to look at the sugyas. But the other example I thought you were going to refer to was a person who's Osek B'Shavas Aveda, Pruta Derbi Yosef. So there, but that's Shavas Aveda. I'm watching this guy's object, and Ani comes to my door, so if I'm involved in this, I don't have to pay him the money. They're both Chavir, exactly. So that's an example where it does work. So I have to look into your case, Seth, of the guy at the Levaya, which is a Bein Adam L'Chavero, and he's parted from Shema. Yeah, it's a Halacha Mitzvah. Yeah, Mitzvah. So that's a Bein Adam L'Chavero versus Bein Adam L'Makom. But that's based on Psukim, though. That's not based on Lachoso. Yeah.
Mitzvah has a special limit.
Yeah, it's a special limit.
Right.
Okay. So then, let's just finish off with this last piece, number 14 of the Rambam. Read the Rambam inside, the Perish Mishnayos, the Masech, that's Peya. He talks about the Schar of Bein Adam L'Makom versus Bein Adam L'Chavera. He writes, in Kaim Ha'adam HaMitzvahs Meyuchados Lo Be'atzmo, B'mash She'beino L'Bein Boro. Person fulfills a mitzvah that's between him and Hashem. Yesh Lo Al Zeh Schar, Yeschar Yigmaleu Hashem Al Kach Li'olam Haba. By doing a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Makom, you get Schar of Olam Haba. Commotion of Arba Perak Chelek, where he describes what Olam Haba means. That's in the last parak of Sanhedrin. He describes what Olam Haba is. V'im kaim ha'adam ha'mitzos ha'tluyos b'tikunos yichse b'nei adam zem zeh. The person does mitzvahs having to do between two people, b'nei adam l'chaver mitzvahs, yesh lo al zeh schar li Olam Haba a kaim ha'mitzvah. He gets a double schar. One is he gets an Olam Haba schar, for mitzvahs bein adam l'chavero, but he also gets v'yosik toelas bo mahaze. He also gets schar in this world, l'snaguso, l'snagus tova in bnei adam, the fact that people like him, the fact that he's doing wonderful things, you get a double schar for mitzvahs bein adam l'chavero. Bein adam l'makom, you get just one schar, not just, but you get one schar of olam haba. Mitzvahs bein adam l'chavero, you get double schar of olam haze, and schar of olam haba. So mitzvah Hashem, we should be zocha that now we have Sfiyas Omer in front of us. We should put efforts into performing more mitzvahs asay bein adam l'chaveru in addition to mitzvahs bein adam l'makom, and hopefully the endless availus of coming Mashiach with the Gula Shem v'amitas meher v'yameinu. Amen.